just listening to the connective theme of all the songs this morning, just the idea that God is good, right? That he is there for us. He has not forgotten us. And as we've been talking about over the last several weeks and this whole idea of finding God, and for a lot of us that are believers, it's easy, it seems kind of silly, but it's easy to kind of misplace God. And I think sometimes we do that. And man, this morning, I don't know, I just kind of feel moved to maybe just open it up to you guys just for a moment and just give a praise, just something you're thankful for, just a place or a time maybe in the last several weeks where you have found God, where God has shown up, where maybe something you've been praying for or someone else, something else in someone else's life, where you're just seeing God coming through, you know, in the midst of the clouds and the storms that is kind of our world right now. Like just to say, man, I just want to thank God for this because he is good. He is still there. And we just need to be reminded of that. So if anybody at all has something you just want to thank God for this morning, I know I would love to hear it, and we would love just to celebrate that with you. Daniel.
Just out of the blue, we kept feeling the call to list our house. We had no idea where we were going to go. We had no idea what we were going to do. But we listened for a change. You know, I've always been really stubborn, but we listened to that calling, and we listened to what was on our hearts. House on the market. Fast forward about a year of ignoring that call, we listed our house last Friday, and it sold Friday afternoon.
Wow.
We found another house, put in the first offer, they accepted the first offer, and it's just a total God thing. It's where our prayer throughout of it was, you know what, God, if it's your call, if it's your will, give us a very evident sign, because I'm a Nimrod.
Yeah, so just a praise from Daniel and Lauren. Just been feeling a call for a while now, a year, to possibly sell your house, and took a leap of faith, put it up for sale. It sold in 6 hours, and not knowing where you're going to go, and then found a house like 2 days later, right? And yeah, that is awesome. Just listening to God and him just constantly kind of be there nudging you along, and that is awesome. And a praise for Lauren's dance studio, right? I mean, Lauren stepped out in faith. What, a year, 2 years ago? When was it? Last year. And decided that after years of being a dance instructor for another school that she wanted to kind of open up her own. And so Kurtzville Dance Company was kind of formed and birthed. And we house it here at Re3 and it's busting at the seams. Yeah, and so it's done great. And it brings, man, just so many families into Re3 that would never set foot on this property otherwise. And just being able to minister to them and love on those families, you know, that come in through here to the dance studio is also a huge praise. So just thankful for the Reels for just being, and just obedient. Thank you, Daniel and Lauren, for that. Thanks. Anybody else? There's a praise this morning, something you're thankful for that you want to thank God for. Tim. Amen. And Tim shared the story before in sermons and just in life. And a lot of us have walked with the Dixons through this for many years. And Tim's dad having that lifetime battle of addiction and alcohol and really hitting rock bottom and you know, having to, you know, living at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, which is an amazing ministry in Winston. But to be there for 2.5 years, to turn his life around, to be dry, to be able to now graduate and become a case manager to help other men just like him in the struggles is truly a miracle. I mean, Tim's dad is a walking miracle right now, and just thanking God for that and just being obedient. You know, and I know some scary times, some hard times, a lot of tears and prayer and over Tim. And so I'm definitely a praise for that. Amen. Susie.
Two.
Right. Yeah, you can have two. That's fine.
Back, and it was wonderful, and just so glad to have Kim Dixon.
Amen. So just a first praise is for Susie's Bible study, which had obviously taken a hiatus due to COVID and things and not really knowing who would show up or if anybody would show up when it got started back. And it started back and a lot of folks here and some new folks. And yeah. And so that is awesome. And again, just a praise for our praise band. Susie does a great job of this, just getting the band together. And the band, man, they step away every Sunday morning around 10:20. You won't find any of them because they're in my office praying for the service, praying for you guys, and which is awesome. And so I think it's what makes our time of worship a lot of times so sweet and so special, because it has been prayed over and people do care about meeting God here and inviting God to be part of this service each and every week. Amen. JD. Amen. Thanks for saying that, JD. Absolutely. We do have a lot of first responders within our Re3 community, which is amazing. And days like yesterday, you know, celebrating something that was tragic, but where we've come in the last 20 years to be able to see how we've grown and just celebrating our first responders that are there day in and day out, you know, when just saying thank you to them. And it is a huge praise that so many of them take care of us, you know, when we often can't take care of ourselves. And so amen for that. Anyone else? Yes, Gail.
We have dear friends that gave birth to a baby boy last week, and then we have two other sets of friends that announced pregnancies. So
okay. Amen. Just a praise for new life and friends that are celebrating births and announcements of births. That's awesome. Yeah. Sam?
Somebody's there every single time I drive by. There's ministry occurring in that building every single time I drive by that building.
Mm-hmm.
God is good. He uses that building. It was waiting there for us. The time is right. But my gosh, restore, rebuild, renovate. That building is the example of Re3.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a praise for the Hope Center and a building that sat empty for a few years. And man, even the feeling is different. Even we walk in there from January to now, you know, we walked into January, it just felt so cold and damp and run down. And now it's like you walk in and you just feel life inside of it. And God is using that property to be life-giving. And even the church that's meeting in there now that we're letting meet over there for worship on Sunday mornings. I got a call last Sunday after the service from the pastor, just so excited. And what an amazing service they had. And knowing that, you know, things that we perceive as dead, God is in the business of bringing back to life. And so this is a huge praise for all that God is doing throughout that building and that property and all the, who knows what. I just feel like we're barely touching the tip of the iceberg right now for what God's doing there. So it is awesome. Right. Yeah. And Sharon is such a foundation of the Hope Center. You know, when she started coming here a few years ago, you know, I was like, what's your passion? What do you want to do? Because that's what we do at Re3. We want to figure out what is your passion and how can we connect your passion with the kingdom? And Sharon's like, I just want to give people clothes, people who need things. I just want to do that. And so for years now, 2 or 3 years, Sharon and I have been looking at various properties and things would fall through. And Sharon just kept such an attitude of just, God will be faithful. We'll know it when we see it. No big deal. And I was the one, I think, that was getting a little impatient and frustrated. And Sharon was often, it'll be okay. We'll find some place. And now to have it and to see this dream become a reality and having somebody who's so dedicated. And thank you so much, Sharon, for that. And
God promised me that we
That's right. And just recognizing that promise and believing in the hope of that promise that God would be there. And I mean, we threw out the name Hope Center, just kind of, I don't know how we threw it out, but that's really what it is. And it's become a center of hope for so many people. And I think I told y'all's numbers, or at least I think I told a few weeks ago, Sharon does a great job. Yeah, so we've helped out, like, how much is it, like 460, let's say like 470 different people. Over 120 some families have come through the Hope Center that we've been able to help in 6 months, which is absolutely unbelievable. And so definitely a praise for that. Anyone else? Praise or something you're thankful for this morning? Those are all good. Those are just great. And God is good and He is faithful. So if you would this morning, as we continue or wrap up, I should say, our final sermon in the series, Finding God, I'm going to ask if you would to pray for me as I pray for you. Lord, as you've heard these praises that we've been able to share this morning with one another, none of these things were a shock to you because you have been in the midst of them. You've been there from start to finish. You're in the middle of them right now, Lord, as they are ongoing. Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I know I personally question, where I may have doubts or fear that creeps in, wondering if things are going to change during certain seasons of the church or my own personal life. God, you are in control. And we just need to remember that. And through this time of praise, we can be reminded that even if right now, man, in the midst of a struggle that maybe nobody knows of but you, that by these testimonies, we can be reminded that you are there, that we are not forgotten, that you offer us a future of hope. Lord, I pray for the service this morning. I pray for, man, just everyone that's here. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears, whatever we're dealing with this morning, any kind of distractions, whatever it may be, God, remove all of that. Give us ears to hear you this morning and a heart and soul that's receptive. It's in your holy name that we pray these things. Amen. So we're wrapping up our series today, simply entitled Finding God. And we've talked about this a lot over the last several weeks. You know how we often kind of misplace God due to certain things that are going on in our lives. We looked at one week the way that we misplace God when life gets messy. And life does get messy. And it's easy to see that because in our own life, in our own personal life, there's certain times when we lose things. You know, our wallet, our keys, our purse, our phone. And it's just because maybe our table's too messy and it got stuck underneath something, or our car's too messy and we can't find it. Like we understand that. Like in our physical life, things can get messy to where we lose things that we're looking for. And the same thing can happen in our spiritual life, that things can get so messy, so seems like it's spinning out of control, that we often misplace God in the messiness of our lives. We talked about what it looks like when life just doesn't make sense. You know, things happen, tragedies happen, struggles happen. It seems like we hit dead ends or roadblocks and we're trying to make sense of things. And we focus so much on trying to make sense and trying to figure out whatever it is this equation is that's in front of us, that we kind of forget that God's part of this, right? And we just need to be reminded sometimes that because we live in this broken world, life will not make sense. We can't understand why some things happen to some people and some things don't, and this, that, and the other. But what we can understand that in the midst of this land of confusion, that God is still God and He still sits on the throne. We talked about not just that, but feeling like when life is all life is lost. Like everything that you've been working for, everything that you have, that at this moment, if I'm really being honest, all seems lost. Even God. But God is there to remind each and every one of us that I'm there in your lostness, that I haven't gone anywhere, that I'm there to pick up the pieces. I'm there to be there with you, to walk through this with you. And maybe it's even the opposite. We even talked about finding God in prosperity. In times when life is going so good, we kind of forget God had anything to do with it, right? We get so focused, and you know, bills are being paid, relationships are good, the marriage is great, the kids are behaving, job's going great, it's growing, I'm getting paid more, all of these things, and we kind of forget God had anything to do with it. And so it doesn't matter if you feel like all life is lost or all life is great. We can always misplace God somehow if we're not keeping him front and center. This week, we're going to talk about maybe the place that's the toughest to find God. And that's in our future. It's tough to find God. It's tough to see God often in our future. It's easy to see God in our past, right? And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, we've all had those moments and times where we've gone through seasons of life where there's been a struggle or a tragedy or whatever it was. And now that we can look back a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, we can look back and say, ah, I see where God was there. I can see where he was connecting the dots. I can see where he didn't let me down. Even in that moment when I felt like he wasn't there, when life was confusing and all was lost and life was messy, I can look back now in hindsight and see that God was there. We can do that. It comes kind of naturally to us at times. I mean, it's similar to like that, the poem or the story, The Footprints in the Sand. You know, we've all read that. You know, you look back and it's like, man, where was God? He's like, I was carrying you. We all know that story. And that's true because we can look back in the seasons of our life and we can see God and we can rewind it. All right, God was there. But it's also not very helpful sometimes if we look back and we see where God was and we see where we blew it. Because we're like, man, why did I doubt? And we look back at that time of our life with regret. Man, if I just hadn't have been so scared, if I just would have trusted God more, if I just would have not like turned to God instead of turning to these other things to make me feel better, then maybe my life would have been different. So we can look back at our past and we can see God pretty clearly. And it can make us feel really good or sometimes it can make us feel pretty bad. But either way, we can look back and we can see God. That kind of comes kind of natural to us as believers. Now, as easy as it is to see God in our past, it's a bit more difficult to see God in our present, isn't it? Because as we're here in our present, you know, it's tough because in our presence, like, life is dense, right? Life can be crazy. Like, things can be, like, swirling around. Things are happening so fast. It's like we think we see God 1 second, and then we turn around, and we don't see him. And just all of these things are happening. Life is about change. And in the present moment, man, if we're not really obedient to like looking, if we're not disciplined enough to look for God in the moment, then we'll miss him. And life will seem chaotic and it'll seem mysterious and it'll seem scary and all of these things. When the whole time God is right here, it isn't like he stepped away and then we have this kind of crazy moment here in the present and then all of a sudden he steps back in. He's here. He's right here in your life in the midst of COVID, in the midst of pain, in the midst of job loss, in the midst of frustrations, in the midst of marital strains, in the midst of kids doing crazy things, in the midst of all of this in this present moment. God is still here, even when we don't see him, even when we're not looking for him. He is still here. He has to be or all of this would fall apart, right? So as easy it is to see God in our past, and as more difficult it is to see God in our current present moment, for a lot of us, it feels nearly impossible to see God in our future, to see where God is leading us, to see where God is taking us, to see how's he going to connect the dots of our past and our present and do something in the future with this. It feels like it's almost impossible. And I think the reason for this is because if we're really honest, the future is just kind of a concept, right? I mean, we never truly live in the future. Because as far as we can get is in the present. We can see the future. We can be scared of the future. Or we can have hope in the future. The future is out there, but the future is just kind of theoretical. Like, this is what I think is going to happen. And based on how we feel at the time, it will determine how we view the lens that we view our future from. You know, if you've got to have a conversation, we've talked about this kind of, you know, if your boss comes in one day and says, hey, I need you to come see me today at 5 o'clock before you get off work. Well, that's in the future, right? Well, based on how you view the future is going to base how you react leading up to that future. Oh my gosh, he's going to fire me. Or maybe he wants to give me a raise, you know? It's both based in the future. We don't know what he's going to say to us or she's going to say to us. We just know it's coming. But we don't know because we haven't been there yet. And I think the language that's used in the Bible kind of conveys this. This idea that what we think we know or what we think we understand isn't always the way that God thinks and understands things. And I think the future is like that. Like when we think about the future, we want to tangibly know this is where I'm going. Like there's a race, right? And you know this is the starting line, this is the finish line, this is where I'm going. Like there's some kind of a goal in mind. That's what we want. But more than anything, it's like the future is this like endless marathon where you're just running and running and you're like, God, I don't even know if I'm running the right direction, right? Like I just want to know that there's an end in sight, like there's a finish line, or at least show me something that lets me know I'm on the right path. I saw a bumper sticker one time and I absolutely love it. It said, I took the road less traveled, and now I don't know where the heck I am, right? Like, that's it sometimes for us. Like, as Christians, we take that road less traveled. We're trying to follow God, but then it feels like, man, where am I right now? Because we don't know where this future is leading us. We don't know what it's going to look like. But the Bible understands this. So when we read about the future in the Bible, we often try to make it our tangible future and what it looks like when it may be something completely different. And I'll explain to you like this, like the Bible does certain things where it talks about being alive or having sight or being able to hear. We all understand those things. We understand what it means to be alive. We have a pulse. We are walking. We're breathing. We are alive. We understand what it means to have sight. We can open our eyes and we can see things and we can see objects or colors or whatever it is. That we have ears that we can hear. We can hear people talk. We can hear music. We can hear birds chirping. We can hear cars driving by. We understand all of this. But then the Bible tells us things like this. You can be alive but be dead. You can see but be blind. You can hear but be deaf. Just because we think we have a future doesn't mean that we have a future. If our future is based on something other than God. Jeremiah 29:11, extremely popular passage. And I'll just read it to you guys. You know this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now it took me a while to understand what the Lord was really saying there. I have plans for you, declares the Lord. See, I think too many times we worry about the future because in our mind we feel like God has our whole future planned out. So we're stressed and we're worried about following God's will. What is God's will? Where does he want me? Who does he want me to marry? What job does he want me to take? What college does he want me to go to? What church does he want me to go to? All of these things. Like we're so worried that we're going to take a step in the wrong direction and that God's going to just say, all right, you know what? You're on. And we're so worried about that. And at first I would read that passage and I would think, well, I think that's kind of what God's getting at, is that he has this perfect plan for our life and it's a plan to prosper and help us and give us hope and all of this. And if I don't follow this exact plan, then things are going to fall apart. But the more I read this passage and the more I read this verse, I don't think it's saying necessarily this. It's not God doesn't have, you know, kind of a future planned out for us. It's that he has planned out a future for us. And there's a big difference there. If we believe that God has this future and it's all planned out, then we're robots, right? We just go through the motions. We go through the line. And if we walk the right way and say the right things, then God's up there checking off on his checklist, you know, all these mile markers. But if you believe it the other way, that God is saying, look, I have planned a future for you, a future that is full of hope, a future that is full of prosperity, a future that is full of joy, that is full of life, then it tells me this. God has a future that is attainable, but it's only attainable if I'm willing to chase after it, if I'm willing to move forward. That wherever I'm at in my life, if I want my marriage to be healed, I need to take things to make my marriage healed, to become a better husband or wife. I want my kids to be, you know, functioning adults, you know, that have followed the Lord and can get through life, then I need to do things as a parent, you know, to pour into my kids. If I want to change careers, if I'm in a dead-end job and I have dreams of something else, then I need to put things in place that will get me there. If I'm struggling spiritually, I can't just expect to walk in these doors and all of a sudden walk out and I'm it's like extreme spiritual makeover, right? Like it doesn't happen like that. Like there's things that we have to do in our life to move this way. When I read this passage, that's what I think God is saying. He is simply saying that I have planned a future for you if you're willing to do what it takes to go and take it. So this morning, do we have what it takes to go and take it? Because if we believe that God can bring hope to the hopeless, if we believe that he can bring joy to those who are filled with sorrow, if we believe that he can bring love to those who are unloved or feel unloved, doesn't it make sense that God can bring a future to those who feel like their life is futureless? Because our God is not just the God of the past. He's not just the God of the present. He is the God of the future. He wants to meet us there. He wants to go with us there. A couple of passages I'm going to just read to you today. Psalm 37 says, consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits for those who seek peace. And over Ecclesiastes 8:7 says, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone what is to come? You see, we have a choice. We can create a future for ourselves. We can make the necessary life changes here in the present day. Make life choices right here in the now that will dictate what our future with God looks like. Or we can choose to stay stuck. We can stay stuck in the past, or we can stay paralyzed by our present situation. Or we can make the changes necessary to move forward with God. Because guys, our present, right now, it's either a womb or it's a grave. That's it. That's where we're at right now. Where we're at right now in this moment is either a womb that's going to birth a new future for you, birth of walk with God, birth somewhere where God is taking you someplace that you've never been before, or it's going to be your grave. Because you're never going to get unstuck from your past. You're always going to look back and with regret and think, man, why didn't I do this? Why did I say that? Why did I fall into this temptation? Why? And we're going to beat ourselves up and we're going to be stuck there. Or we're going to look at our present life and just think, you know what? I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not good enough for God to ever do something with me or to change this. I'm never going to meet Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. I'm never going to have kids. Things will never happen. I'll never be able to get a job. I'm always going to be in debt. It's a womb or a grave. But we have the choice to decide what it is. We can choose to die here today, stuck in our past and paralyzed by our present, or we can choose to move forward, to allow God to create a future for us, with us. So how do we know, right? Like, how do we know if I'm creating a future? Because I think we all know what it feels like if we're living a life that's futureless, don't we? I mean, it's all based on feeling, that feeling. We know what it feels like to be scared to death. We know what it feels like to have doubt. We know what it feels like to have despair. We know all of these things. We recognize just saying those terms. If I was to say, man, think about a time when you were afraid recently. You can attach an emotion and a feeling to that. Think about a time when you doubted God or doubted something in your life. We can attach a feeling to that. Think about a time when your life was just despair. You can attach something to that. We recognize those things. But God has designed us in a way that if we have feelings and we can feel what a futureless life feels like, doesn't it make sense that we would know what it feels like to have a future? Absolutely. It feels like hope. It feels like hope. what is hope? What does it feel like? I heard a speaker one time describe hope as this. He says, hope is like taking your heart and throwing it into the future and saying, wait on me there, I'm coming. I'm gonna say that again. Hope is like taking your heart and throwing it into the future and saying, wait for me there, I'm coming. That's looking ahead. It's not being stuck in your past. It's not being paralyzed by your future. It's saying, someday my hope is that I'm gonna be here or that this is going to happen. Even in the moments of your greatest tragedy, even in the moments of your greatest doubts and your most despair, the ability to kind of push our heart forward and say, man, I'm not there yet, but I'm coming. I had a teacher in high school that, man, I just loved. He was awesome. Mr. O'Leary. I had Mr. O'Leary as, I think it was like my sophomore English teacher. I just loved the dude. He was an awesome Christian guy, just laid back. I mean, just, you know, I loved him. And then as a senior, when I had a chance to take yearbook class, I took that with Mr. O'Leary, right? Because he was teaching it. And it was like me and three guys and like 20 girls. So what was wrong with that, right? I mean, it made it even better. And so I've thought about Mr. O'Leary a lot over the last couple of weeks because Maria is now taking yearbook. And I kind of feel like I got to pass that yearbook torch on to her. And so I've been thinking a lot about his class and I've been thinking about Mr. O'Leary. And in fact, Mr. O'Leary and I were so close, he even came to our wedding. Like who invites one of their high school teachers to his wedding? But I invited him and he came and he was pretty cool. A few years after Beth and I got married though, Mr. O'Leary and his wife had a daughter and she was about, I don't know, about 20 months old or so. And she passed away. Now as a parent of three kids, and no matter how many kids you have, you think about what that feels like, the idea of what it would feel like to lose a child. I can't imagine a more devastating thing. I just can't. Like I would much rather have something happen to me than something to happen to my kids. And for the fact that here is this amazing man and he had his family, he had other kids and they had a daughter and at 20 months, she passed away. We'll fast forward 20 years later. Last September, the O'Leary's, the husband and wife, Mr. O'Leary and his wife, they went to a wedding. And he said that when he went into the wedding, it was, you know, it's during COVID last year and everything was crazy. And you may know people who got married, you know, it was venues were smaller, capacity was cut. And a lot of weddings really just had like immediate family and friends, you know, so like really just put a cap on things, you know. So he said he showed up at this wedding, him and his wife, and kind of the only people who weren't related to the bride and groom were them. And he said they came in and they sat down and family was coming over, people were coming over that didn't know them and were like introducing themselves and they would say, you know, how do you know the bride? And they just said, well, we just have a special connection to her. Mr. Leary went on to tell this story. He said, when our daughter was moments away from death as a 20-month-old, they asked, would you like us to donate any organs? And they said, absolutely. At the exact same time their daughter was dying, there was another family in the exact same hospital whose daughter was also close to death and was praying for a miracle. That little girl got the O'Leary's girls some of her organs. The wedding that they were at last year was now that girl that was getting married. They sat there and watched this girl who physically has parts of their daughter inside of her, walk that aisle and get married. Now they could have sat there and thought, that should have been our daughter. And that thought may have crossed their head. But what they did was they celebrated. They said, you know what? One day we're gonna see our daughter again in heaven. But for right now, this is the next best thing. That is taking your heart and throwing it forward and saying, I will meet up with you later. In the midst of their pain of losing a child, they were willing to say, God, you know what? I don't know why this is happening to us, but just take what you can and do with it what you want. And some young lady was able to walk the aisle last year with her husband and get married because of them and their willingness to look forward into a future with God. I pray nothing like that ever happens to any of us. But there may be other things that we have to do. Other moments of tragedy, other moments of hurt, other moments where we're so stuck in our present or stuck in our past that we're looking around and life doesn't make sense and life is a mess and all seems lost and we're scared to death. Do not believe for a second that means God does not have a future for you. God has a future for every single one of you. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, I am a God that has a future and I have a future of hope and it's for every single one of you. If you just trust me. Trust me that I have this. Trust me that when you believe that tomorrow can and will be better than today, I mean, that's a transcendent observation. That changes your life totally. If we look at our life right now and we look at our past and we look at our present and maybe everything is crazy and lost and messy and we don't understand it and we automatically say, well, tomorrow's going to be just like it. Tomorrow's going to be just as bad. Life is never going to get better. What do you think tomorrow is going to be? Exactly what you're looking for. But in the midst of our pain and struggles and everything else, if we can somehow take our heart and soul and just kind of throw it forward and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get over this. I don't know how our family's going to overcome this. I don't know what's this going to look like, but I believe you're there tomorrow. And I believe you're there the next day. And I believe you're going to be there for my family and my marriage and my kids and my job and my career and my life and all the struggles that I have. When we believe that God is the God of tomorrow, not just today and yesterday, it transcends everything we do in life. It is literally life-changing. But it's a choice. We can trust God and his promises, and we can move forward, even when we don't know how we're going to move forward, or we can stay stuck. We can stay stuck in the past and paralyzed by our future. We can allow where we're at right now to be our grave, where we can be alive but dead. We can see but not have sight. That we can hear but be deaf. Or we have the choice to believe that the God who was the God of our past, that God has passed all of those things, the God that's here in the midst of our present moment, even when we don't see him or feel him, is the same God that's going to be there in our future. It changes the way we approach tomorrow. It just does. It changes the way we approach the next day or the next week or the next year. Because anything we've ever gone through, if we can look back and say we made it past it, that should be a promise from God to us and something that we recognize that God is there. He was there. The fact that you walked in here today means God still has a plan for you. He has this incredible future that all we have to do is take that step forward with. I ain't saying tomorrow's going to be easier. Not. It may be just as tough as today. But tomorrow doesn't have to defeat you. It just doesn't. There was this... And there still is this incredible documentary on Michael Jordan on Netflix. And I was never a Jordan fan growing up, but I watched this documentary. I just had this incredible amount of just new respect for him and kind of new eyes seeing him. But I say all that, say he made this one comment that has stuck with me ever since I've saw it. They were asking him about, you know, missing shots, right? And like being fearful going into a game or would he win this game or win this series or win this championship? And he looked right at the camera and he said, why would I worry about a shot I haven't taken yet? And I just thought, man, you know what? I don't know what his faith is, but I know what mine is. And I wish I could say that about my faith. Why would I worry about a day that hasn't even gotten here yet? Why would I worry about a week, a year, or something else? You know? And that's what life has become for all of us. It's become worry after worry after worry. Well, what if I get sick? What if so-and-so gets sick? What if so-and-so dies? What if this happens? What if I lose my job? What if I can't do this? What if? Worry can what if us to death. Or we can trust God, because why would I worry about tomorrow when tomorrow's not even here yet? Why not trust the God who knows my future? Why not trust the God who has a future for me? Amen? Why not trust that more than the lies of the enemy in this great unknown, this abyss that we feel like we stare into? Why not just trust the God who's been with us in the past, that's here in the present, and will take us in the future? Guys, God is the God of the future. He is the God of our mess. He is the God of the things we can't understand. He is the God of our prosperity. He's the God of our fears. He's the God of all of these things. And I'm here to tell you right now, he has a future for you. For your marriage, for your relationship with your kids, for your job, for your career, for your spiritual life, God has a future for you. And no matter how bad it feels like it's gotten, no matter if everything seems derailed right now, it doesn't change the fact that God is saying, I am here for you. Trust me with your heart. Let me move to the future, and I promise we'll meet up again one day. I've got this. Can you imagine what tomorrow may look like if you approach tomorrow with hope instead of doubt? Can you imagine what tomorrow would look like if you approached tomorrow with hope instead of fear? Can you imagine what tomorrow would look like if you woke up tomorrow facing tomorrow with hope instead of despair? Circumstances may not change, but you will. As believers, we are agents of hope, and it's time that we live that way. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning I pray that we take hold of the hope that you offer us. We can pray, give us hope, but God, you already have in your Son. You have defeated death. Eternity has already begun for us as believers. You have promised us that in this world we may have struggles, but to take heart because you have overcome this world. That in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our despair, you are still God. When we can't see it or feel it, we have a future with you. God, I pray this morning that whatever Satan, the enemy, has built up in front of us so that we can't see the future, I pray this morning you do what it takes to tear it down. Tear down these walls, break these strongholds, destroy these chains, open these prison doors. Let us step confidently into the future. Even if our circumstances haven't changed, even if the job is still a struggle and our marriage is still strained and our kids are just, you know, still not where we want them to be, or God, we just feel so lost. Regardless of all of those things, let us walk confidently forward into a future knowing that you have this. You are the God of our past. You're the God of our present. God, my prayer this morning is that we allow our present to be a womb for the future. That something new will be birthed today that we never expected yesterday. Thank you, God, for being a God when we misplace you. In the mess of our life, in the moments where nothing seems to make sense, when all seems lost or all is going well, God, you are a kind God, a gracious God, a merciful God, and you're right there with us every step of the way. Help us to trust you with our future, to trust you with our lives. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. So again, kids today, 4 o'clock to 5:30. The kids will be meeting up here for our new monthly Re3 Kids group. Our youth group will be meeting today, as it does every Sunday from 4:30 to 6 o'clock, also here at the church. We have a couple different Bible studies that are going on. I know Susie's happens during the week. Sheila, yours is today, right? This afternoon?
Yeah.
4 to 6 over at the Dixon's home. And so see Sheila, if you're a lady and you'd like to be part of that Bible study, it's going on every Sunday afternoon. You can see Tim and Karen for directions, I guess. It's literally almost right across the street, walking distance. And so you can come be a part of that. We have lots of things going on. Next week, we are kicking off a brand new series. Tim and Quentin and I kind of been praying over this and thinking about what we want to do. And we feel drawn to the book of Ephesians, the letter to the church of Ephesus. And for me, I don't know how these guys are going to sum it up, but to me, I feel like the book of Ephesians answers the question, who am I? It deals with our identity. And way too often, especially in our life now in society, we allow everything else to choose our identity for us, who we are. But man, that letter, Paul is saying, you know who you are. You're in Christ. And what that looks like, and what that looks like lived out. And so I'm excited to dive into the book of Ephesians starting next week. We're going to take a few weeks, several weeks, and kind of walk through that together as a church. We'll be emailing out kind of a reading plan this week, so you guys can kind of, everybody can kind of be reading along a few verses a day, and we can kind of walk through this book together. And I'm excited for this fall and what God is going to do through his next sermon series. But I pray you guys have an incredible Sunday afternoon. Go and be blessed. Look forward to your future, because God is in it. Amen. You may go.